holding on to our big screen TVs and all our stuff. Amen. I know. Somebody, I know David said, you got the biggest TV we ever seen. I heard him. And a phone. I like big stuff. Amen. We're in our eighth and final sermon in our Radical Jesus series. Amen. And believe me, there's a whole lot more radical things Jesus said, but probably none to me than John 14, 1 through 6. I think this is probably as radical as it gets. I wasn't planning on doing it, but when I look back over it, I said, this is one I use all the time. And I never had a chance to really explain it at length. So let's look at John 14, chapter 1 through 6. And believe me, I really don't know why this is such a popular funeral verse, because I wouldn't want it read at my funeral if I didn't know the Lord personally. Be careful with some funeral planners, because they'll put you on the spot while you're laying in the box. You know, I didn't know that was going to rhyme, but it came out like that. But John 14, 1 through 6, and really interesting, we see Thomas again. I think we talked about Thomas a little bit last week, but, you know, Thomas was always that guy to ask the question you was afraid to ask. You know, when you're in college and everybody got the same question on their mind, but nobody's going to ask it because they don't want to feel stupid. Then we always say there's no such thing as a dumb question. I beg to differ, but I always tell you guys that in Bible study. You keep asking questions. Let's look at this. It's a really interesting, fascinating, radical. This is as radical as it gets, fellas and ladies. This is as radical as it gets. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know. And the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's as radical as it gets. Father, thank you for your radical, confrontational word. Father God, we need to be more like you. We need to be more radical in our Christianity. We need to be more confrontational with this lost world. Father God, we need boldness today. We need strength today. We need wisdom from on high today. Father God, it's time out for entertaining preaching, Father God. We need a word from you as we go out into this lost, sinful, cursed world, Father God, and face the giants of sin. Father God, we need to be strong enough to confront our lost loved ones who die and go to hell as we stand by knowing the answers. And we say nothing. Father God, give us the power to speak a word today. And to speak it, Father God, in a confrontational way, but also in a loving and meek way, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for everything you've done so far today. And we ask that you just be with us as we open up the scriptures. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. You ever been out of town? You get lost and you stop and ask someone for directions. We don't do it as much as we used to because we have GPS navigation systems now. But back in the day, we would. And I can remember times and maybe being in downtown Cleveland and ask somebody which way something was. And they would have that confused look on their face. And you know, and they're guessing. And they're thinking like, and then, you know, you just need to move on. You know, you just need to move on because they don't know the way. They don't know the way. They don't know the way. And I know when we have a Christmas party at Cindy and I's house, and a lot of times, you know, folks coming for the first time, it can be a little bit confusing once you turn in there. If you make a wrong turn, okay, you're running into different cul-de-sacs and dead-end streets, and that's not healthy and that's not good. Okay? We need to know the way. We need to know the way. And here, we're not going to look at a lot of this, but verse number 6, because I think verse number 6 has 3 points in it. I talked to the young ministers and deacons who one day are going to teach, and all the teachers. You look for those 3 points, at least in the scripture. And you had 3 points in verse number 6, and we're going to look at them, because when you're talking about controversial, okay, I get letters all the time. Some of you know I was a chairman of the Youngstown Police Chaplaincy. And had problems with that. I was talking about it Wednesday because I had problems with different religions that don't glorify God. Okay, I have problems calling folks Father and Monsignor. That's just me. Some of you may not. Okay, I buried my father last week, 2 weeks ago, and I have problems with folks who sprinkle babies at birth and say they don't need to be born again when the Word of God says that you must be.
Amen. That's right.
So I'm not real ecumenical, and they asked me why was I resigning from the police chaplaincy, and I said I'm not real ecumenical. You know, I get a lot of letters from the ministerial alliances, and they all want to meet, and they want to talk about everything but Jesus, and you know, and you don't have to believe in Jesus, just be a part of the meeting. And when you bring up Jesus, you sort of ostracize anymore. Troubling stuff. Jesus wouldn't have been ecumenical.
Amen.
The church has become so inclusive that it's lost its ability to change a heart or a soul. Our focus has been so much on membership that we've taken and put membership over the preached word of God. Jesus would have had a problem with that. Look at John 14:6. Now, Thomas has come to Jesus. And he's asked that question that everybody wanted to ask, but was afraid. Thomas was in the flesh. Thomas wasn't looking for a spiritual way to get to heaven. He was looking for a fleshly way to get to heaven. How can we get there? Give me some earthly instructions. Jesus was giving them spiritual instructions. Thomas said, "Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Now here's Jesus' answer. This answers a lot of them. If you run into a Muslim or a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon, and these different religions, and I call them religions. You know, if somebody say you religion, you either are a man of religion or a woman of religion, or you're a Christian. Or a believer. Okay? Religion is what you do. Okay? Christianity is what God has done. Okay? So he's asking this question. He says in verse number 6 that we're going to look at these 3 points here. Jesus is going to answer some questions. He says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Okay? Now believe me, when he said that, they start picking up stones. Because that's problematic. That's problematic if you believe in a different way of getting to heaven. Say if you watch Oprah. And Oprah said there has to be literally hundreds of ways to get to heaven. She would have had a problem with that.
Yeah.
A lot of folks say that Jesus isn't the only way to get to heaven. But if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, Jesus is the only way. And this has to be one of the greatest scriptures for the believer.
Yeah.
He's the way for lost people. If you're lost and you think about the fact that one day you're going to die, you will. The point of the man wants to live, wants to die, and after that, the judgment. And you're concerned about where you're going to spend all eternity. He's the way for lost people.
Amen.
He's the truth for learned people. And what does that mean? He's the truth. You ought to be able to question the Word of God. There's some educated folks in here today. There's some folks in here today. Many of you have college educations, college degrees, and doctors here today. He's the truth for a learned person. See, a learned person don't want to come to a church and listen to Slick Willie. See, a learned person don't want to see the man of God up here whooping and hollering and running around acting like a fool and dancing around.
Amen.
Telling jokes. See, most of us, we have over 200 stations, and we can go to the comedy channel if that's what we feel like. He's a life for those that desire more out of this life than what they're getting. For a lot of us, life has dealt us a bad hand, and some of us believe that it's as bad as it gets. Well, Jesus said, "I'm the life. There's more after this."
Amen.
See, this is not your best life now.
Amen.
If it is, I wonder what you have to look forward to.
Amen.
If this is good as it gets, this can't be as good as it gets for the believer. It has to be better.
Amen.
Amen. He answers the three different questions. How can I be saved? That's a good question. Okay? He says, "I'm the way." He says, "How can I be sure?" To the educated man or woman, he said, "I am the truth." Line up what you believe with what the Word of God says.
Amen.
He says, "How can I be satisfied?" To the person who's not satisfied with life, who feels like life is wrong, and this is hell on earth. I've heard that. I've been working in prison 22 years. I heard him, and this is hell on earth. And I tell him, there's going to be a day when you're going to wish you was locked up in this prison if you don't understand what it means to be saved.
Amen.
Why is this such a difficult question? Because it confronts us. Why is this answer Jesus gave Thomas difficult? Because it confronts us. It challenges our way of thinking. It sets an impossible standard. You can't meet this on your own.
Amen.
You can't meet this on your own. It not only sets an impossible standard, but it condemns all other religious systems. And you know, Slick Willie don't like that. Slick Willie preachers don't like preaching that. They like preaching an all-inclusive religion. Everybody can come. Okay, I think about it when I see the snow trucks out. Think about this next time you see a snow plow. Hopefully we won't see another one this year.
Amen.
But when you see a snow plow, they're clearing the way. Because folks got somewhere to go. So they're clearing the way of all the snow, all the obstacles, and they're trying to make your ride to work or your ride to wherever you're going as smooth as possible. I was reading they come out with a new truck that has two blades on it, can do two lanes at one time. Just came out this year. And the reason I say that, because those Slick Willie preachers, you know, they want to make your ride to hell smooth. Smooth. Listen. Smooth selling. Okay? Tozer, you say they're gonna put shock absorbers, the best shock absorbers available on your chariot to hell. They want your ride to be smooth. Listen. He is the way for lost people. Now, when we start talking about the way, and I know there's religions out there talking about, well, you know, unconditional election. You don't have a choice. If God calls you, you don't have a choice. You just have to be saved. That's not the way I see it.
Amen.
When we look at Matthew 7, and I want you guys to hang in here with me, because we're going to look at a lot of scriptures today. Because really, I don't have a lot to say outside of what the Word of God says.
Amen.
You know, God didn't call me to preach what's on my mind. He called me to preach the Word. So when we look at Matthew 7, we're talking about Jesus said, "I am the way." But before we can look at the way, there's two ways. There's two ways. He says in Matthew 7, verse number 13, he says, "Enter ye into the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many be there on it." Listen. Now there's another gate. You have a choice which gate you want to enter in. There's a wide gate. And then wide gate, you take all your stuff. You take all your sins, you take all your flesh and all your lust, and you can just get on the wide road and you on your way to glory land. And that's how Satan sets it up. You're on your way. It's smooth sailing. You're on a 4-lane super highway to heaven. The Aretha had a song out years ago. Listen. And then there's a second way. It's the straight gate. And it says the narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. You'll know right away if you're on the wide road or you're on the narrow road. So you can take 71 south to Columbus, or you can take 77 south to Columbus. 71 south to Columbus, you got exits every couple of miles. 77 is just all highway. And if you break down, you're going to be out there for a while. See, now he says in verse 15, there's two types of preachers. There's two types of prophets. He said, beware of false prophets. Now he brings this one early into the equation because he knows the power that pastors and preachers have on folks. Mm-hmm. He said, there's false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Then he said, there are two trees. Then the point I'm making, there's choices. There's two trees. There's two kingdoms. You see all this in Matthew. So when we look at Jesus and I'm the way, you got to know which way. You got to know which way you're on right now. What road am I on right now? Because right now it's not too late to change direction. You going out, go that way. Go that way. Ushers. Look at Proverbs 9 and 6, if you mind. See, there's a foolish way. There's a foolish way. Proverbs 9 and 6, they forsake the foolish and live and go the way of understanding. So we have a foolish way and a way of understanding. Jesus said, I'm the way. He's the way of understanding. You need to get some understanding of this book. Get some understanding of what the Word of God teaches. Because there is a foolish way. Then there's a wicked way in Isaiah 55 and 7. He said, let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and I will have mercy upon him.
Amen.
And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. There's a wicked way. There's a wicked way. How about to the from the greatest womanizer of all time? Some of y'all believe that was Will Chamberlain, who said he slept with over 1,000 women. We have Ewell Hefner and his Playboy, and we came up in the 70s as the American Gigolo, and now we call them Mac Daddies. Proverbs 7:27 got a word for you. Look at Proverbs 7:27. It says, hearken unto me now, therefore, O children, and attend to the words of my mouth. This is a man who has lived this thing. This is coming from Solomon, one of the greatest men that ever lived, who made some of the greatest mistakes. And he's trying to help. He said, let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her path, for she has cast down many. Excuse me, she hath cast down many wounded, yea, strong men have been slain by her. Her house, now he's talking about the way. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. As that speaks for itself. How about this one? There's a way to seem right. There's a way to seem right. This is Solomon too, considered one of the wisest men that ever lived. Solomon even went to God and prayed. He said, God, listen, give me wisdom to rule your people. Look what Solomon says in 16:20-25. And this is for someone who may think they're doing the right thing. Line up your right ideas with God's word. Look what he says. He said, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Now that's interesting. I always thought that was one of the interesting verses, because there's a time when I was doing my thing and I thought I was doing what was right. I cut my grass cut. I mean, my grass was always cut. The house was always neat. You know. Went to work, punched in on time, thought I did a good job, and still lost. He said, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Hell will be full of good folks. Good folks. A lot of employee of the years and just quality neighbors and the people come, oh, he was such a good neighbor. You know, they were such a good co-worker. Didn't know the Lord. I like this one. You talk about him being the way. You know what? I could cover so many scriptures, but y'all know I had to cover Ephesians, because this is the greatest book in the Bible to me, and I love Ephesians. So I would behoove me not to talk about Ephesians, because Paul had a good understanding of the ways, because Paul at one time was on the wrong way. He was on the wrong road. He was on the road to destruction, and God knocked him down off his high horse and turned him around. Look what Paul has to say about Jesus being the way. And being the way. Look what Paul says in Ephesians 2 and 17 and 18. Paul proclaimed the readiness of God to forgive. Somebody was talking about forgiveness today. I'm hearing Jeremy pray. He says he came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were near. For through him we have both access by one Spirit unto the Father. That's the way. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreign, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? He was the way for Paul. He came and preached the word of God to Paul while Paul was afar off. What a good God we serve. What a good God we serve. Not only is he the way, but he's the truth. Here's a good one. He's the truth. What is truth? You ask an accountant what is truth, and they'll give you a different answer. You ask a lawyer what is truth, and they'll come up with something. You ask a banker what is truth, and they'll come up with some stuff. And you ask a politician what is truth. What is truth? Truth is dogmatic. Truth, I always say that, is truth will always be truth. It doesn't matter if nobody's doing it.
Amen.
Truth will always be the truth. Listen. Plus 2, 4. I don't care if you can think it's 5 all you want, but 2 plus 2 is 4.
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, I know, no, 2 plus 2 is 3. Write that down on your test. And you'll be wrong every time. The truth will always be the truth. And when we talk about the truth, Jesus says that the house of God should be where the truth is.
Amen.
What is happening?
Amen.
Because we widen this thing out. Let me give you a truth statement. Now, I know. I get caught. Some of y'all tell me, well, pastor is a different sort. I just like the truth.
Amen.
Okay. I like the truth. Let me give you 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, 16. I'll give you the basis why I try to be as truthful as possible. 1 Timothy 3 and 15. Notice what he says.
He's talking to Paul. Paul's talking to Timothy, excuse me, and he's on his way to a missionary trip. And he's telling Timothy what should happen in the church while he's gone. He said, "These things write I unto you, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long," well, Paul knew he could tarry long. He knew he could go somewhere and preach the word. They could put him in jail. Paul said, "Well, you know what? I can go to jail. Any city I go to, I can go to jail. I can hit the head with a rock." Back then they carried rocks like we carry guns. You know, you see a guy coming, you got a pocket full of rocks. Now they got an AK. He said, "But if I tarry long, that thou may knowest how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God." This ought to be taught.
Amen.
Jeremiah, I wasn't getting on. You know, I got great love for you. It's just when you're in the house of God, there's protocol. Okay? Amen. When you have to get up, you just exit to the sides. Amen. Okay? And that's just out of love for God's house. Amen. There's a way we ought to behave in here. Okay? There's a way. And here's what Paul is saying here to Timothy. Mm-hmm. "Thou knowest how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Let me go back. It's the church of the living God. This is not a circus. This is not a place of entertainment. This is the place where the word of God ought to be proclaimed throughout the building.
Yes, sir.
I'd not be up here talking about politics.
No,
I'd not be up here talking about fundraisers and who you should vote for and all that. The word of God ought to give you sense enough to who you should vote for.
Amen.
We don't pay attention to it. Okay?
Amen.
Because, you know, for whatever reason, you know, we don't have a problem anymore in the church supporting politicians who say that two men ought to get married. We don't have a problem with when the first lady calls openly gay football players saying, "Can we just thank you for being so courageous? You are an inspiration to all of us." And I just want to say, Michelle, who is the us?
Amen.
Who is the us?
Amen.
Oh, I just don't know. You know, well, Pastor, you black, and she black, you just got to line up with her. No.
Amen.
I don't know. That's not politically correct. I'm not running for office, though.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. And y'all don't pay me enough to put a dent in my income if y'all fire me. So I'm going to keep on preaching, and I'm not going to be asking for no raise because I'm going to keep on preaching.
Amen.
It's just a word.
Amen.
It's just a word. Let me show you something. Please, I have to do this. Some folks say, "Oh, Pastor, I think I got my notes all discombobulated here." Okay. Genesis 2:24. It's for someone who they wanted some research. Making of a woman in the institution of marriage. This is what God says. Through the person. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." When they become one flesh, they'll be able to look each other in the eyes. I don't know. It's pretty straightforward to me. Look at John 1:14. We talk about the truth. "I am the way, the truth." Here's Jesus saying this about himself. So when someone says, "Well, he's a good teacher." No, he's not a good teacher. He either is the way, the truth, and the life, or he's a liar. Or he's the greatest liar that ever lived. And my Muslim friends, they go, "Oh, we respect him as a teacher." No, you call him a liar if you call him a good teacher. He either is God or he's a liar. Period. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father. Here we go. Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Full of it. Look at Peter. And Peter, this great rock-like statement Peter made, is basically saying that the God, you are the truth. Jesus, you are the truth. You are the truth. He asked him, he said, who do men say that I am? Matthew 16 and 13. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, other Elijah, and other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, the truth.
Yeah.
That's what he said, the truth. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Yeah. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not Peter. He's not the Pope. The rock-like statement that Peter made. He's going to build the church on the truth of God's Word. And if the church isn't built on the truth of God's Word, it's not the church. It's not the church. The church is the pillar of truth. And what does the pillar do? It holds something. It is to support something. And the word of God, the truth of God, ought to be rested on the pillars of the church.
Amen.
The truth rests on the church. And the truth isn't coming out of the church. And when God said, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, the truth isn't coming out of the church. The world is in a bad situation.
Amen.
And believe me, the church is silent. The church is silent.
Yes.
Christian football players are silent. Uh-huh. Where's Tim Tebow? A couple of years ago, everybody T-bowing. Where they at now? Where's Tim Tebow?
Uh-huh.
How you feel about an openly gay football player in the locker room, Mr. Christianity, Tim Tebow?
Uh-huh.
Silent. Why? Because they don't want to pick calls. They don't want to pay the cost. There's a price to pay.
Amen.
Being a man of God. Being a woman of God. We don't want to pay it.
Amen.
We want smooth sailing. If you're not following the Christ of the Bible.
Amen.
You're not following the Christ of the Bible. What's smooth for Jesus? Well, I like this. I showed the boys yesterday right around. They watched the passion of Christ. Not that I believe it all, but I want them to see what Jesus suffered. I believe the suffering part of it was accurate. And he knew he was going to suffer. He met Pilate. He said, Pilate, I'll see you at Golgotha. And John 18, I like this. I'm just going to read scripture today. Y'all hanging there with me. It's all there. And then he met Pilate at Golgotha. He said, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the King of the Jews? Now this is for you. Y'all know I just believe Jesus was wrong. I didn't believe Jesus was a beast, as they were saying. I didn't believe he was a dog. He was radical. On his way to Calvary's cross, and he's talking to the governor. Look what he said. And Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world.
Amen.
If my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king? Now watch this answer. Y'all think, oh, Jesus being soft? Some of y'all want to, the rock is hard, and let's watch some of this movies out, got these superheroes, they all hard. No, Jesus was hard. He's hard as they come. Look what he said. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. How about that? So I was born a king, Pilate. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. So, let me tell y'all something. These so-called Christian leaders who are silent on issues that are biblical, believe one thing, they know the truth. And a Christian leader who would support these things, they know the truth. And they'll answer.
Amen.
They'll answer. They have a platform to take a stand. Oh, but they're compromising American church. Oh, they're compromising American church. Don't want to take a stand. God, $100 million budget.
Yeah.
Our church employ 50 or 100, 500, 1,000 people. They're not going to take a stand.
Amen.
They're not going to take a stand.
Nope.
Jesus was the truth. And the word is always a separating word. It's always a divisive word.
Yeah.
And I used to sit in some of those meetings with them chaplains, and I heard one chaplain who happens to be the spokesperson for the black church in Youngstown. And he said, well, if my daughter came home with another woman and wanted to marry, I wouldn't have a problem with it, long as they love one another. Threw up in there. And that's the message that's going out into the community. See, God's word has always been a divisive word. And I'm going to preach a divisive word. Because I'm not trying to build this church. It's not my job.
Amen. Amen.
The word of God says God adds to the church.
Amen.
Such as it should be. So everybody here is supposed to be here.
Amen.
I'm not going out there and doing cartwheels and sitting on the roof and daring to swallow a goldfish for every member. I see this kind of stuff. I'm not giving you $50 if you bring a friend. Okay? We're not going to put a bounce around out there for your kids. Them little babies going to hear the word of God. Because God's word will not return void. So I don't care if you reject it or not. You hearing it. And it's going into your spirit. It's just that kind of work. And I'm not here to make friends. Because God didn't make friends. They wouldn't have killed him. Now listen. John 6:66. Y'all know I like that. It's a separating word. It's a divisive word. It's disruptive. It's troublesome. The word of God ought to cause preachers trouble.
Yeah.
It's not causing preachers trouble. Watch this. It says, for that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why'd they go back? Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you must raise the standard. You must eat my flesh and drink my blood. I must become to you everything.
Yeah.
I must become to you everything. And they said, that's a hard thing, Jesus. I got a lot of stuff going on in my world. And it says, they turned and went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12. Here come Peter again. Here come Peter again. And he said to them, now he wasn't begging. See, if you leave here, chances are I'm not coming and begging you to come back. I'm just going to take for granted that God just removed you. Okay? I just believe that, you know, if you just leave, and I hope you go to another church where you're happy. So this ain't a happy message, and if you come here to be happy, then I can understand you leaving. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, you know, please come back. I didn't mean to offend you. I meant to offend you.
Amen.
The word is offensive. It will offend you.
Amen.
And you don't sit there and just lift folk out and arm fold up. And I still have an obligation to preach it.
Amen.
And in Isaiah, chapter chapter 30 of Isaiah. You don't have to turn it. I'm just going to read it. And this is what was happening back then. People didn't want to hear it. And they said to Isaiah, they said, which say unto the seers, see not. A seer was like a prophet, a preacher of that day. See not. They're telling the preacher. They're telling the preacher. The people telling the preacher, don't see everything. Don't see everything. Close your eyes to some stuff. You know, don't worry about that. Don't worry about the fact that since 1972 when Roe v. Wade came out that there's been over 30 million or 40 million abortions. Don't see that. Okay? Don't see that. Don't see that HIV AIDS is infecting this country.
Amen.
Don't see that. He takes to the prophet, prophesy not. Don't preach to us. Right things. That's what the word of God says. Prophesy not to unto us right things. Don't preach right things to us. We don't want to hear it. Speak unto us smooth things. Smooth things. Stuff that's easy to digest. Easy to go down. See, we don't like peanut brittle and stuff. As we get older and we get caught up, we don't like stuff that will crack our teeth. We just like just smooth. Give me a smoothie. You know? When I had one preacher, you got the cappuccino church. Listen to what Jesus said. Will you also go away? Because it's going to get harder for here. It's going to get harder for here. He said, then Simon answered him and said, Lord. I like the way all of a sudden you always call him Lord. To whom shall we go? Question mark. Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. It's a sifting word. It's a sifting word. They went back. They went back. They didn't want to hear that. Ooh, that's difficult. That's difficult. Listen, he was not only the way, he was the truth, and he's life. He's life. This ain't the only life you're going to live. This is not the only life that you're going to live. Some of you live like you think this is it. This is the only life I'm going to live. I mean, this is when this is over, you know, eat, drink, and be merry. Because when this is over, you know, we just die like the raccoon on the side of the road. That ain't how that works. He says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. Now what's that saying, Pastor? You can't judge anything that's dead. They can't call you to court if you're dead. So if you die, if there's appointed unto you once to die, then God is going to wake you up out of that deadness, and you're going to stand before the throne. You're going to stand before the throne. You're going to stand before the throne. Listen. John 6:33. I just got some scripture. I know. He's talking about the bread of God, which is coming down from heaven. And he says, and giveth life unto the world. Okay? Jesus is that manna that came from heaven. What did he come down here to do? To give life unto the world. How did he give his life? Young men, you all watched the Passion of Christ yesterday. He gave his life. So that we could what? Live. So that we could live. So we wouldn't have to die and go to hell. That's why he died on Calvary's cross. That's why he took the punishment. That's why he allowed him to beat him and scourge him and spit in his face. So that we could live. He says in John 8:51, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Because he's the life. What's it mean to keep it sane? Believing, continuing in it, and cherishing the word of God. Oh my goodness, it's a divisive word. Obeying the word of God. In the good times and in the bad times. Do you cherish God's word? Do you continue in God's word? Do you obey God's word? How do you do?
How do you stand that cross examination? That's what happens when you get judged. You're going to be cross-examined. Mm-hmm. And your story's going to have to jive. And you won't be tricking me. Mm-hmm. Or you won't be tricking your mother or your auntie. You'll stand before an all-knowing God as judge. The life. John 17. Now, there's so much stuff in John. Look at John 17. Look, he says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. What's the meaning? What's Jesus talking about glorifying God? How do we glorify God? By being obedient. By doing what God has asked us to do. That's how we glorify God. How are you glorifying God? God looked at your last week. He looked at the things that come out of your mouth, the things that you say, the places you frequent, the people you hang around with. Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians 10:31, and all you eat, drink, and do to the glory of God. As believers, our lives ought to glorify God in everything. In everything. Yeah. Look what he says. And as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. What is eternal life? If you keep reading, the word of God explains it. You just keep reading God's word, it explains itself. He said, this is eternal life. That they might know thee, the only true God. That word know just has so much force here. It means that you have an intimate relationship with God. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I'm closing. Y'all just hang in. I have one more scripture I just want to share with you. It's a wonderful one. John chapter 11. You know the story of Lazarus. Because here's a picture of Jesus being the life. He's the life. He's the life of the world. He says, I'm the life. John 11. We know the story. Jesus was out on a missionary journey and that he was with the disciples and they got a message that Lazarus was sick. And then they got another message that Lazarus was dead. And then Jesus waited 4 days and said, you know what? Let's go back. Let's go back now. Jesus was waiting so Lazarus would be stone cold dead. As soon as he got in town, Martha heard that Jesus was coming. Verse 20. It says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming. How about that? She went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Now watch Martha now. Martha know the word of God. We get confused with Martha because of the kitchen incident. And we think Martha didn't know God's word. We just thought Martha was like Martha Stewart. No. She knew God's word. Watch what she does. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. She understood the power that was in Jesus Christ, that he could have saved her brother. He could have healed him on the spot. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Now Martha is explaining and expressing that she understood that Jesus had the power of God to raise Lazarus from the dead, even 4 days in the tomb. You tell me Martha was a believer. Listen. And Jesus said unto her, Martha, thy brother shall rise again. That's a test question. That's a test question. That question wasn't to Martha. That was to all of us. That's a test question. Listen, Martha came right back at it. Oh, you know, enter his presence with boldness. Listen, you know, we don't serve that kind of God. You know, it's harder to get to some preachers than it is to get to God. Amen. Martha come right to God. Right to the person of Jesus Christ. Listen to Martha's answer. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She talked about the general resurrection. We talked about it on Wednesday night. The general resurrection. They all understood that. Jesus said unto her. We talk about this now. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus said unto her, Martha, I am the resurrection. Now what's he saying? He said, I have the power in me to resurrect anybody. I am the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection. Watch this. And the life. That's our word. And the life. I have the power not only to raise somebody from the dead, but to empower them with the Spirit of God. He that believeth in me. That word believeth. Trust in me. Commit your ways to me. Obey me. Love me. Cherish me. Though he were dead, he shall live again. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's a great question. He's asking Martha a great question. He's asking us the same question. Believest thou this? Do you believe all this that I said to you today? Look at her answer. She's going to take you back to the Old Testament. She's going to give you some knowledge of the Old Testament. She said unto him, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Where's she going with that? Malachi 3:1 put it just like this. Behold, I will send a messenger, John the Baptist, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, say the Lord of hosts. Martha understood. Martha understood that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life. And she also understood this, and we need to get this, that no man or woman, I don't want to leave you women out, y'all be protesting outside. No man or woman or child or young man or young lady shall inherit the kingdom. He's the only way. He's the only way. Father, thank you for being the only way. Thank you for your word being so dogmatic and so truthful. Thank you for confronting all those that are saved in here. We were confronted. Hitting them out. Hopefully someone today. Some of us got hit years ago. We ask that you be with us today. The young people. Speak to those who don't know you as Lord and Savior. Speak to those who don't cherish your word. Who don't honor your house. Don't want to fellowship with other believers. Speak to them. Speak to them that need a stronger prayer life. Speak to those who need spiritual blessings today. Speak to someone, Father God, who lost. That they would die today. If you would ask them straight up, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Speak to that person. You speak to them, Father God. Give them a right answer. Give them a right understanding of what it takes to get to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Amen. Join the church are open.